So today we're going to go into a message. Just open your hearts and your spirits because it's going to be a little hairy today. Because the enemy is always going to fight you where your biggest breakthrough is going to come. So when a church steps out and says, this is what we feel like our core values are. We feel like we're going to love God, we're going to embrace community, we're going to serve the world. So the enemy is going to come at you and say, okay, I'm going to test your love for God. And how bad you want to see God and how bad you want to see God move in your life. And are you willing to do the hard things in order to do that? Second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to test that embrace community, because in times like this, when there's a pandemic and people are still walking in fear and not wondering whether or not they're going to come back or where God is, we have an obligation as a church to stand firm and say, no, this is what we're going to do. We're going to meet together, because the Bible says not to forsake that. Because it's important when we come together, because when we come together, things happen that don't happen when we're by ourselves. And just look at yourself during this quarantine and how easy it was for you psychologically to turn and to begin to look inward and get unhealthy in your perspective. And so I don't care what anybody else tells you, that being alone is not the remedy for your success, okay? Isolation is not the remedy for success. And so community, God has created us to walk in community and be in community. We just started football season again, and I can't tell you how many people that I see, even on social media, who are just excited about being able to get back and just watch something. And even though they're half of the people are gone, but people are there just to watch something, to be excited, because there's something to be said about getting together. God's called us to get together. And so the enemy would like nothing more for you not to want to do that. And so I would encourage you today to fight against that tendency. Fight against it. I don't care what's happening in your life. I don't care who's coming and who's not coming. But I would encourage you to do what you can to get involved in your groups, to get involved in your community groups, to do life together. And to reach out and say, hey, what's up? What you doing? Because people are looking, and it's sad, but at this time, people are looking for hope because they have none. And so you have the hope of Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. And so you reach out and say, hey, I'm for you. Let's do this together. It speaks volumes. And I know we're in this place right now where people are still debating on whether or not they feel like they can get back into life. I want to tell you, whether or not you get back into life or not, life is happening right now. Okay, it's happening everywhere. People are back at work. They're out. They're wanting to get back into life. So don't fall back into the position that says, well, it's not the way it was. It may not totally ever go back to the way it was. And I think God would say it's okay that it didn't go back totally to the way it was, because now I'm in it. I'm in it now. And so when I'm in it, I'm going to bring liberty and freedom. And I'm going to do some things that I've planned and designed to do, because now I have your attention. I have your attention. Hopefully you've allowed me or to get in a little bit and to make adjustments into your life so that we can actually move in the direction that I want to go. And so God, I'm not saying, and I said this before, I'm not saying God caused this. There are a lot of people who say, well, God foresaw it. He did foresee it. And God's going to work it out according to his good plan and his good purpose. And he's going to use it. He's already using it now. But don't blame it on God. Look at God and say, thank you that you're going to do something great out of this because of what you've already done in my life right now. Listen, if nothing else, look what it's done in you. Look how it's caused you to seek harder, go after God harder, stand firm because you know who he is and know that truth that God has given you. Though it might be challenged, it'll never be shaken because of who he is. So it should cause you, or it should have caused you, to stand firmer and to push harder. And I know if you're here today, you have that type of mindset, but I want to guard and help you guard against complacency and apathy even in the middle of it. I'll tell you one thing that I can't take, and I'm telling you right now, is an apathetic, lazy attitude. I can't take it. Because of the way God looks at his kids, the one thing he said, I would rather you be hot or I'd rather you be cold. I can take hot coffee. I'd rather drink cold lemonade, he said. But listen, if you got something mixed in there that's lukewarm, I'm going to spit that thing out of my mouth. I'd rather you be for me or against me. I don't want you wishy-washy. I don't want you playing games. I'd rather you be in. It doesn't mean you're not going to struggle with me to grow. That's just part of it. But I'd rather you be struggling and growing or going. One thing I can't take, and so when I see that, I pray that would bother you. It would bother you. Because it's one of the things that causes a community not to work. It causes a family not to work. It causes a nation not to work. Laziness and apathetic attitude never produces what it should and never produces progress or purpose. So we're trying to move things forward. And so anytime you try to move things forward, there's always an opposite of that that's trying to pull that or stop that from happening. And so right now we're in this fight of whether or not we're going to believe God and move forward, or we're going to stay back into where we think it's safe and do life here because this is the way we've always done it. And God is saying, I'm not doing that anymore. I don't care if we've always done it that way. I am weeding people out. I'm weeding them out. He loves them, but I'm weeding them out. And it starts in the church. Starts in the church. We've gotten it a little bit wrong to where we feel like houses are only cleaned outside the church. Meaning that jobs change. Well, that's the world's way. You know, companies come in and they purchase other companies, and that's just the way the world does it. People are let go. That's just the world's way of doing things. The church is supposed to be a place of where people feel like they can be accepted and they can be loved, but listen, never really challenged. Because the church, we're all supposed to feel great, and I don't see that anywhere in the Bible or the scripture where it talks about we're supposed to come in and feel great every time we're supposed to come in. That is not an effective service. It is not an effective ministry for you to come in, never feel challenged, never get called out on anything in order to help you get better in your life. Ask any coach who is an effective coach, and you know what I'm talking about. A good coach will call you out and get in your face if you are not performing the way you should perform, or knows how to motivate you to get into a place or so you can perform. And if you don't perform, guess what? You fall down on the depth chart. Well, what are you talking about? We're not supposed to perform for God. I'm not talking about performing for God. I'm talking about getting in an attitude of where your heart is for God, and that's where your heart is, that it's not for something else. So when you come into places and churches, it's not divided. It's game day today. That's what Sunday is. You practice all week. You go through the crap all week and the difficulty all week so you can come in and praise God and worship God. It's game day. I got my game face on today because I love God. That's why I'm here. I didn't come in just so the other team can gain yardage on me. I didn't come in just so I don't have to put my best foot forward. I didn't come in just so I could say, well, that was wonderful. I came in actually to do something and to receive something today. That's why I came. It is game day today. You lose out on the opportunity where that is not your attitude, where it is a leftover. Well, church is now a leftover. You know, Sunday is the first day of the week. But we treat it as a leftover. It's church. It's an hour. It'll be great. Not realizing, I believe, it's that way because God knows that tomorrow the game continues. And you're going actually to practice tomorrow. You're going to go up against some things tomorrow. You're going to get hit tomorrow. Stay at home if you don't want to get hit. And we have a lot of people doing that. I don't want to get hit no more. I'm staying home. But they're dying. No heart to want to go back out and try again. No heart to be able to put your best foot forward even though you're tired. Who's not? Craig and I and Chip were here yesterday putting up that pallet wall on an off day. Just because we have a heart for God, we want to make God's house presentable. We want to make it look good because sometimes we leave out God's house and say, it doesn't need to be great. No, it needs to be great. And so spent the time to be able to do it. It was difficult, but we did it. Love the product. But it was about getting together as a community and doing it on an off day. When was the last time we did something we didn't necessarily want to do on an off day? This Sunday is my day. I said, Sunday's my day. That's it. I come to church like an hour and a half, man. That's what I do. And then listen, I'm on social media the rest of the week, man. I go YouVersion. I'm on YouVersion every day, man. You see me in there. Like, I post an image about the verse today. I liked it. It's a great image. And that's what I do. And then I come back because I'm so busy. Next Sunday, I'll come back in. And we go through that same cycle. Now I realize that God says, you know what? If you allow me to get in and rip some of that stuff out of your life and so that I can intervene and be able to speak to you about some things so that you begin to understand the scripture where it says that now my life is not my own. My life is now his. That means that he has access to me 24/7. Well, that's too much God. What do you mean he has access? No, he's got access to you 24/7. 4 o'clock a.m., 4 o'clock p.m., 24/7. Well, what about my day of rest? Well, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. You can rest with him any day you want. Let's not get so caught up in religiosity where it's like, well, I got to make sure I got to rest today. How then can God ever use you if you're not flexible? Because you have to have this certain time, this certain drink. You have to be at this certain time. And Netflix has to be on at 6 o'clock because 6 o'clock is the time that I go into self-loathing. Because my life is not the way it's supposed to be. So I have to self-loathe at 6. 6:30, whew, man, people are knocking down my door on social media. I got to make sure that I post something because if I don't, my followers are going to be upset. Got to make sure I keep up appearances. And you know as well as I do that those people only look at you because you look pretty on social media. I'm not saying you can't be effective in what you do, but if you live for the applause of people, you are missing out on a healthy relationship with the Lord. So if God says, put that thing down, man, okay. It's one of the dangers about being blessed with privilege in a society that we're in right now. You have freedom of speech for now. You have the freedom to do what you want for now. And so, but what happens with that freedom, if it's not checked, it turns into something that is unhealthy, and then it becomes something that is counterproductive to your life, and no longer is it a tool that you use, but now it is using you. And so it becomes a religion to us. Well, I'm going to raise this thing up. And we do that. I got to raise this thing up before God. Spend so much time on there. God says, how am I supposed to get in? You're looking at what everybody else is doing. What am I doing? Well, I don't know, man. Well, put it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Starting in verse 11, it says, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Be careful, he said. If you're thinking that you're standing, be careful, lest you fall. What is he talking about in the scripture? If you look back a few verses up, he is giving a conclusion or a synopsis of what the ancestors of old went through because of their disobedience. He said, hey, listen, remember that God was not pleased with most of them. If you go back and read it, their bodies were scattered all throughout the wilderness. God said, I'm tired of it. In one breath, you wanted freedom, but then you would do something different. You would act in a lascivious way. You would be real riotous when it came to my ways. You didn't want anything to do with me, and you rose up idols. And God said, I don't want to have anything to do with that. And said, and compounded, he said, well, if that wasn't enough, sexual immorality ran rampant back then. And in one day, 23,000 died. God said, I've had it. And then he goes on to say, if that weren't enough, he said, and remember those that tested Christ and snakes came and killed them. You remember that, right? That type of God. The God that we take for granted. And so he said, look at yourself. Look at the posture of your heart, lest you end up falling like them. Well, that is serious. Because what we do is we separate God because of the testaments. God was a God in the Old Testament. Man, I wouldn't want to live then. And then we look at God in the New Testament and say, thank God for the grace of God and this dispensation of grace. There's that thing again, privilege without responsibility. OT, God said, I'm not playing. New T, he said, listen, I'm still not playing, but it's a different dispensation that's here. And what we do now that we have the Holy Spirit, we think that just because the Holy Spirit wasn't necessarily active in the Old Testament, which he was, but now that he's with us now in the New Testament, that we have license to do what we want to do because his grace and his mercy is so good. And Paul said, shall I keep on sinning that grace may abound? He said, not at all. So if you have privilege, but you have no responsibility, you're setting yourself up for disaster. You think you can live any way you want to live and expect God to come in and bless you. And God said, that's not the way it goes. Don't mistake my kindness for weakness. Just because I dispense to you mercy and grace every day doesn't mean I don't have the ability to remove my hand from your life. Don't you think that I don't have the ability to allow you to walk into a test? Don't you think? Don't you think? He says no temptation has overtaken you. Look at the word. No temptation has seized you. You know what that word looks like? Seizing. You don't necessarily expect it, but guess what? You got snatched. You fell into something, and now it has a hold to you. You know what I'm talking about? Some are you in right now being seized by a temptation, and you're like, I don't know what to do. Am I going to believe God in the middle of this or not? But he said, it's common to man. It's common. Time out. You're not the only one who's ever dealt with it. You're not the only one who's ever wanted to grumble and complain. You're not the only one who's ever wanted to sleep with everybody. You're not the one who's ever wanted to test God. Everyone else has gone through the same test, but with it, I will provide a way of escape so that you can stand up. Hello? You know? Okay. Here's the deal. It's going to get hard now. You're in a situation relationally with somebody. He said, if you don't heed my warnings and you cross over to do things that I'm not asking you to do, there will be consequences from it. Well, what does that mean? Doesn't God love me? He loves me. That's why he said, I want you to set some boundaries. He said, one thing I don't like is sexual immorality. I don't like it. He said, what I need you to do is understand that if I am pricking at your conscience and I'm trying to help you see that what you're doing right now, you are doing not only against your body, but you are doing against me, that I'm trying to help you get into a better place mentally because I don't want to see you emotionally tied up in relationship for years, that I have to come in and undo the work that was done. Well, isn't a God of grace? I am a God of grace, but I would rather you heed the warning so that we don't have to go around in a wilderness experience for years, because you know what? I don't want to stay in the wilderness, he said. I want you to go into the promised land. I'm not looking for you to circle around the same thing. If you remember, I wasn't pleased with most of them. If you don't think God can remove you or remove someone in your life who is causing you to stumble, you are mistaken. You don't have the ability to stand without the grace of God. He said, if I bring him in your life, praise me. If I take him away, praise me. I know what's best for you. So if you will help me, he said, walk with you during these hard places, we can avoid some wilderness experiences that you don't have to go through. You don't have to be like everybody else, because today we got this fear of FOMO. It's FOMO. Fear of missing out. Something exciting is happening somewhere else. I want to be there. And what we don't get is that God is saying, you don't have to be there. I'm protecting you here. But Lord, I want the risk of an STD. Lord, I want that. This is what we say. This is what we say. Lord, I want the risk. Lord, I want to be bankrupt financially. Lord, I want it. I want it. Lord, I want it. Lord, I want it. I want it. I want to be tied up in codependency for a long time, because it is beneficial for me to feel that way and have suicidal thoughts because I can't get control of my thoughts because I don't know where my identity is. Lord, it is beneficial for me, Lord, to be in places like that because it just feels good. It just feels good to have pleasure in my life. And God said, nothing wrong with having pleasure. If you delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart in a right way. But Lord, I want to feel like everybody else is feeling. Really? You want to feel like everybody else is feeling? If God would take back the veil and you would see what's going on in their life and their thought process and what their nature is like, you want that? I'm watching TV last night. Commercial comes on. You know it's back on MTV? 16 and pregnant. It's back. I got so fired up when I said, you got to be kidding me. Kidding me. Two kids at 16 years old holding hands up here like this. And then kids, girls, about to have babies. Babies are popped out at 16 years old. Lord, but he loves me. He loves me. That's the type of relationship that I want. And all you're doing is this. You keep walking around the same stuff. That's what I want. I want that relationship. You want to be loved? Oh, you want to be abused? Okay. That's what you want? You don't know what you're asking for. And so when you don't think I'm kidding? Ask Maria about the type of kid she deals with. You want that type of life. And so I'm trying to protect you. And so if I'm bothering you about something, it's for a reason. I'm trying to get you to walk with me in the light and realize that your FOMO should be with me. I fear that I'm missing out with what God wants, because I don't want to miss out on the life he's trying to give me. I know it's hard. It might be difficult, but I don't want to miss out on that, because I don't want to go back to that way. You know that way. We don't want to say it, though. The other way. Emotionally at a deficit. And the reason why we preach emotional health so much is because a lot of the sin we fall into is because emotionally we're not right. You fall into temptation because you're looking for love in all the wrong places. And he said, if you just look at it in when it comes to me, I'll help you deal with that stuff. And I'm not making light of what people have gone through. But I'm looking in here, most of y'all are over 16. Without you back there, I love you, girl. You're fine. Okay? You're old enough now to have a mature relationship with the Lord where things should bother you. And you don't look at things where it's like, it's not cute. It's not cute no more. It was cute when my kids were throwing up at like 6 months. And I had to change their diaper. But when they get older, there is a responsibility now that comes with getting older that it now becomes, man, I appreciate the value that I see in you and what God's doing in your life because I see you maturing. I don't need to see my 13-year-old back in diapers anymore. She graduated from that. We got a lot of Christians sitting in diapers right now. And God's got to clean up their mess. Because there's stuff. Stuff. And God says, stop. Why are you living that way? Because, Lord, I feel like I'm missing out. It's killing you. But, Lord, I want it. Okay, Israel, wait, you want a king? Aren't I enough? We want to be like everybody else. Okay, but just so you know,
This is what he's going to do. We want it anyway. And you know what Saul did. David wasn't perfect. He was being perfected, but at least he had a heart for God and what God wanted. David had an opportunity to step around that temptation with Bathsheba. He just gave into it. It's not like God didn't provide a way. You know the Holy Spirit was speaking to that boy. God still loved him. He has a plan for his life. David is one of the pillars of the faith because it shows that God's grace is sufficient. He didn't abuse God's grace. He repented, turned around. No one's going to be perfect, but he turned around and said, no, God, I'm going to do it for you. Were there issues in his family? Yes, there was. We're not playing. I want you to think right now in your head what you think you're really missing. By not really walking with God. Okay, what am I missing? And I want you to weigh the pros and cons. And if it's worth you turning away and following that stuff, so be it. But if there's something inside of you that says, bleep, no, I'm not doing it because I know who God is, follow that one. Because it's not what it looks like. Not what it looks like. When you get cleaned up and you start to see God's goodness and how he washed you from stuff and how he cleansed your mind and how he gave you eyes to see, that's the life that's attractive now. So that when I look at other people, I can look at them with the right eye set. I'm not trying to get you in an unhealthy relationship with me so that we can become codependent on one another. I don't have the time for it or the bandwidth to be able to hold you and me at the same time in your issues. All I want to help you and push you toward God. That's healthy. I love being in a relationship with her because we've gotten to this place in our life, and tomorrow's her birthday. Come on, pound it. All right. We got to this place in our life where you stop trying to control one another and who they are. And it's not that we ever necessarily did that badly. But the more you mature, you understand, and you're able to let people be them and be who God has called them to be, and God works it out. Because once you get in the midst of it, you can mess up something that's good. And God said, that's good. And so I like the way she is, and I like the way you are. It's good. If I wanted it differently, there'd be somebody else in her spot. So just take it for what it is. Stop trying to get in and mess it up. You be you, that's success. She's her, that's success. Guess what? I'll still work in the middle of it, and you'll both walk in my will, and you'll both work in my ways. And guess what? The more I'm able to do that, the freer I am, and the better our relationship becomes, because I look at that girl and I say, you know what? Man, she's attractive. You know why? Because she's not really needy. Baby! You know why? She's attractive because she has her own relationship with God. And it makes me say, you know, what about, I appreciate that. I like that. I value that. And then vice versa. Then it does become a needs fest. We can have a great time together. I'm excited about this today because God wants to bring freedom into your life so that you can be free who God has called you to be. Just be it. Speak truth. That's what we're missing. Just speak truth. So concerned about what everybody else is going to say. And all you're doing is that you are entrapping yourself. When the Bible says that fear of man brings a snare, it is true. And whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. There is safety in him. A couple weeks ago, I talked about there is no safety. In life, there is none. Like, well, I'm secure. Okay, well, There's safety in him where he protects us in the midst of things. But the beautiful thing about it is that God has a plan and purpose and wants to work it out. Just work it out. If I'm not doing what I'm called to do, then I'm robbing not only the world of the gift that I bring to the world, but I'm stopping, I believe, the flow of God and that lane of my life that it's flowing to other people. So I have to get to a point in my life where I know that anything that's happening for me, it's for my good. If God's saying, listen, what I want you to do is focus on me, and I want you to continue to keep your eyes on me because it's for your good that I'm allowing you to do this. Because whether you realize it or not, I'm cutting away some of that stuff in your life that is not productive. I'm cutting away some of that emotional stuff that's been holding you back. I'm building faith in you. There's a strength in you that's coming that you have no idea where it's coming from, but I'm the one who's undergirding you. I'm helping you stand up to things and look things in the face and say, this is what it is. How many of us have been in a place in our life where it's hard for us to stand up to something and to speak truth to it because we're so afraid about what the response is going to be? God said, listen, I want to get you to a point where you're I appreciate the lights are on today. I appreciate the lights are on today because sometimes you hide in the dark. You come in church, you're just like, oh, thank God, the lights are off today. No one has to see my countenance. And no one's thank God, because in worship, I can just kind of doze off in my own world, pretend like I'm pretending God and praising God, but, you know, just don't talk to me today. Okay, but, and then we miss out on what God's trying to do because your head's down, you're doing something else. But when we begin to look eyeball to eyeball and say, hey, this is the way it is, I love you, God has a plan for your life, it's coming from a genuine spot because love always trumps fear. There is no strength in fear. None. There is no fear in love. So the more I realize that I'm loved, guess what happens? That the more faith is built up and the more I can go up to somebody, I'm comfortable in my own skin and say, how you doing, Malia? You doing good? I'm just appreciate Malia. Not concerned about whether or not she likes me today or not. There is no fear in love. The problem is that when you're in compromise, you're not as confident because you know that there is something that's there that you're putting your foot in, that God's trying to help you with. And you're not so confident that God loves you because God said you're split between two opinions. You know I love you, but this thing has you. So if we can get both legs here and we can stand up together, then you really realize there is no fear in love. There's nothing that you can do that's ever going to separate you from my love. But you can walk. And we know that in theory. We know that by faith. But in reality, what happens is that when it comes to walking it out, it's hard sometimes to do that. Because we throw on to God the way we feel about our situation and our life. And God says, I don't look at it that way. You're already secure in me. I'm just trying to get you to walk more in your standing and who you are. And so when that standing aligns up with your state and your present situation, nothing can stop you. Faith will rise up. You'll be able to walk through things quicker. You'll be able to get through things quicker because you know my love is with you. But when you're doubting God's love, and let's just be honest, you do that. You do that. It's hard for you to stand up to stuff because you think that, well, God is asking me to stand up to stuff. It means that he doesn't love me. No, remember a couple weeks ago we talked about fight? No, he wants you to stand up to stuff. So if I'm not standing up to stuff, then I'm not really walking in the way God wants me to walk. Well, what do you mean? God's not going to, you know, yeah, that's the way it works. I stand up to it. God gives me the faith to defeat it. I learn some things about who he is, and I walk stronger. It doesn't go the other way. Ever try to fight something backwards? You know the thing is over there, and you're doing one of these things. I got you, bro. I got you. Because you're afraid to face it. You're already dead. Imagine someone, and we're in football season right now, says, I got this guy. Don't worry about it. I see him out of the corner of my eye. You do? And you're trying to throw yourself back and tackle him. It don't work that way. You face him. You got to see what you're looking at. You got to see your target. You got to see what you're aiming at. That's the beauty of a Christian walk. You got to get into it. You're into it to win it. I'm not in here to lose. So when we talk about coming in and really being ready, it's for your good. It's because we know that the minute that you turn your back and you start walking the other way, the enemy starts throwing stuff at you. And I know right now some of you in your mind are like, man, this is not for me. It is for you. It is for you. Because you're in danger. In danger. You don't realize how close you are to a fall. You don't realize it. The moment that you decide, today's the day I'm not fighting, is the day that you lower down your weapons and that you now become an open target for the enemy. Because now you're not guarding your heart. Your faith, your shield of faith is not up. You're definitely not walking in truth because you're walking in fear. You're believing the lie of the enemy that says you'll never be good enough. You'll never make it. Helmet of salvation is like tilted, not even on. Okay. All right. It's like over here like this. Okay. You're not walking like your feet are sure not bringing the good news of the gospel. And so all of a sudden the enemy starts coming in and just starts throwing stuff at you. Helmet falls off. Like, you're right. I'm not good. He didn't save me. I'll never be good enough. That's gone. And when that's gone, everything else starts to fall off. Now I don't have the strength to be able to hold up my shield anymore. Isn't that where it really starts, Sharon? Let's talk about that. Right there. If my shield is down, all those things are working together. We're about to close. Come on up, Mike. They're all working together. One piece is off, you're vulnerable. Way it goes. Look at your life. One area is off, you're vulnerable. No, it is. That's why God wants to get us whole so that we're clicking on all cylinders. Physically, I'm good, yeah. Emotionally, I'm doing better. I feel great. Financially, yeah, God's been blessing me. Things are coming in order. Things are happening. All of a sudden, there's a strength that comes in so that you can fight it. Because when something is off, you know it's off, and it's hard to, I got you. You want to do it, but you can't. Man, come on. You want to do it, but you can't. You're having to bring that area around that's in deficit to do it, but you can't do it because it's not strengthened. Lord, help me. Lord, help me get strengthened in areas that I'm weak so that I can stand up in full strength against this thing and take it down. And God is so good. God will make you fight it even when you are weak, because when you are weak, his strength is made perfect, and all of a sudden you become strengthened. And instead of walking like a limp, guess what? Now you're walking like... Now you're walking around. Isn't it better to walk together than to have one area of your life limping? Why do I feel like this area won't get in line? I want you walking in strength. I believe God is pulling people from those debilitating habits they have. Emotional deficits that said, I want to deal with that stuff. I want to break it off. I want to fill you up so that you can walk in stride, not in limp. And isn't one leg shorter than the other anyway? Yes, it is. But what I'm talking about is your whole life. You know that one thing? It's always behind. It's like, and it drives you crazy. Because you try to make progress, and it's like, man, I'm making progress. And all of a sudden, something happens. You're like, why can't it just be fixed? I believe God's grace is sufficient for you in any season. Sometimes he doesn't come in and fix things. Sometimes our faith is perfected in the midst of it, and he shows us, hey, listen, you're walking in a limp in that area for a reason. Because I want to use it to minister to other people. It doesn't mean you won't have the ability to stand and that you won't heal from it. But if you remember Jacob's match with the angel in Genesis 32, he's wrestling with the angel. Daybreak finally came. His hip gets wrenched out. And it said, he walked with a limp. It's a reminder.
God can do what he wants with you, even though you're limping. Sometimes he'll break you so you can limp. So that you can hold on to him and say, Lord, I need you now. Before you couldn't, because you couldn't see your need for him. You thought you could do it on your own. God said, you really can't. So God says, and for you, it could be finances. You know what it is. Where God just puts it out of joint. And when God begins to do it, he begins to get in. Strength comes in, and he rebuilds it back the way it's supposed to be. And it may never be the same again. Do we have the faith in God to say, even though it may never be the same again, that you are still good no matter what? And I promise I won't look back. That's where faith comes in. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It may not ever come back. It's okay. Because what I found in him far outweighs what I lost. Let's all stand to our feet if we could.